B-Pod Studios.
Coming up next at 10, sports talk while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
How aware, Tom, are you of what's going on in Foxborough right now at 2-5? And do you talk to your former teammates at all in any way?
Well, I have a lot of relationships with a lot of teammates. So, I wish everybody the best all the time. I don't ever wish, for anyone to not perform at their best and so forth. I certainly wish our team to play the best. Maybe the only team I don't root for is the team we're playing on that particular Sunday. So.
Your black hair and your fat thighs. Street poetry is my everyday. But yo, I gotta stop when you drop my way. If I was working at the club, you would not pay. Ayo, my man Fife Diggy, he got something to say.
I like him brown, yellow, Puerto Rican, or Haitian. Name is Fife Dog from the Zulu Nation. Told you in the jam that we could get down. Now let's knock the boots like the group H-Town.
You big H-Town fan, weren't you, Johnny?
Yes. I mean, they're part of the whole 90s funk thing. Yeah.
People love Fife in this song.
That's H-Town, right?
Rock in the boots, baby.
You picture Wallace with a rose in his mouth.
This is what happens. This is what happens after you participate in archery. You go home and do this.
Nah, I just put on Nugent's Wango Tango and get loose.
Sure, that's
right. I get down to my manly side. I don't go and seduce.
Oh,
no.
No, it's a primal humping.
I see.
Yeah, we just go primal. I put on the buckskin, start swinging around the house. When in doubt, I whip it out. That's my. That's what I say to everyone. Yeah, and then it's over in a second. Then I'm on my way.
Do you remember when he made that video from a helicopter where he was flying over a field full of pigs and just mowing them down with a machine gun? And he thought that was something everyone would be like, yeah, that's cool, man.
I think he thought it was something that would piss everyone off. And I think that's why he did it.
His book,
God's Guns in America, or something like that, it's called God, Guns, and Nugent or something, is hysterical.
He's yes. making a citizen's arrest.
He's really into making citizen's arrest.
What did he arrest somebody for?
Oh, he saw like a guy, or he like beat up a hippie for smoking weed in like a stall. And then the book starts out with he's in Miami. You know how the first chapter is not chronological? It's like to grab the reader's attention.
Sure.
So the first story is him in Miami making some sort of citizen's arrest. So that is to get you into the book. We used to do a game. It was it real or fake from Ted Nugent's book. I wish I could remember enough about it. I mean, that was over 10 years ago that I read it, but it is something to behold. Rob Halford's book, Do Not Pick Up, not good.
By the way, speaking of books coming out, we are mere days away from the Jim Gray book.
Oh.
Living with Goats or whatever it was called.
Living with Goats. He's doing his own Walden. Where he just sat there living with goats. Yeah, you know. Grass grows, man knows himself.
That guy. I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to going through that book and listening to not the entire thing, picking out chapters. But I mean, it's going to be intolerable. Can you believe this? This is his one time where he gets to peacock.
Yeah,
it's going to be absolutely intolerable. Tolerable. I haven't slept much.
Yeah. Well, who can blame you? I mean, a lot of excitement going on. All right. Rich, you heard Tom Brady, and I believe everything Tom Brady says. He obviously is taking no satisfaction from the Patriots sucking. If I was Tom Brady, I would be absolutely thrilled. I think he overdid it a little bit with the Antonio Brown thing. I think he should have taken maybe a step back and said, all right, things are going good. Let's put his personality's probably let's pedal to the metal. And there you go. But there's no way he's not completely enjoying it. There's no way it's not killing Belichick that it's happening in Tampa Bay. I mean, that's obviously bothering the two of them. But There is, I guess, to Belichick, a way to put this season behind him, and that is to bring in a young Jimmy Garoppolo into the fold, something I'm not quite positive why people want that. I don't know why you would pay for him and not pay for someone else, or not pay someone else to come in and just be your transitional quarterback.
Well, I think then, Fred, if you think that it's the right move to bring Jimmy Garoppolo back, then you still have faith that Bill Belichick can do no wrong. That you think that if he saw something in this guy, and if he can come back here and give us something similar to that, what, game and a half that he played before he got injured when Tom Brady was suspended, then maybe you can rekindle that magic.
The feeling for me is there's no learning curve with the offense. He obviously didn't wet himself like Cam Newton has over the last few weeks. I mean, and as I said, I'm in favor of Garoppolo coming here as a transitional quarterback. I'm well aware that the future quarterback of the Patriots that will lead them to dominance is not on this roster. And but you need Garoppolo to buy you time to have that happen.
But you could bring in a guy, and I mentioned to Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's too old for this. But if you brought in a guy, a veteran, who's stable and won't ruin the franchise and will have the ability to work with a kid, because you don't want to ruin the culture. So you don't want to bring in a guy, and you don't want to lose, you know, you don't want to go crazy losing, but you don't want to sacrifice to win.
And I don't think Garoppolo will do that. But I think that he won't screw up the culture, and he won't lose too much.
But I don't think that he is the guy, because from everything we've heard, he's dumb. He certainly sucks. And I don't know what, I don't want him being the guy, the mentor for my kid. If I'm going to have a kid come in and sit half a season or a full season, I certainly don't want Jimmy Garoppolo. Is he smart enough to know it's not his job? Is he comfortable with that?
That's a good question. Yeah.
He's not old enough, in my opinion, to be comfortable with that.
He's 29, yeah.
Yeah, because so, yeah. I want a guy who's, you know, mid-30s. You know, even like 33, 34,
want Kirk Cousins. It's exactly what Bert was saying. He's the perfect kind of guy, like a Kirk Cousins type dude that, you know, he's about to become that placeholder.
Yeah, he's made his money. He is a competitor, but will be willing to work in the framework that you are not the future quarterback of this team. And when we get that quarterback, you're expected to work with him. We're going to pay you.
What about Alex Smith?
Alex Smith just isn't, I don't trust his health.
According to everybody, he's ready to go.
I don't trust his health.
Which is fair.
Yeah, I mean, no. And I mean, he could be ready today. I don't think he's going to be ready tomorrow.
My feeling is San Francisco doesn't trade Garoppolo. They get rid of him because all the guaranteed money's been paid out. They have nothing against the cap. They can just cut him loose. And the Patriots will sign him at a significantly reduced value.
Yeah, but
we've
talked about how significant that would be, and it's not going to be much less than 20. Because he's going to be brought in to be a starting quarterback, and that's how much starting quarterbacks
make. I think he's been bad enough, and people have seen how bad he's been.
Well, look up how much starting quarterbacks in the NFL make right now.
What did Bridgewater get in Carolina?
Bridgewater got a ton. Bridgewater,
was it 15 a year?
Let me see.
Because, I mean, I'm thinking that's what you're probably going to be getting for Jimmy Garoppolo, is Teddy Bridgewater money.
Mitch, go ahead.
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
I just want to talk about, we keep talking about Jimmy Garoppolo, and he only played a game and a half here. He's been in San Francisco. He hasn't been crazy successful. What about Jacoby Brissett? We saw him in a full season with Colts. I think he did pretty well for a bad team. Just want to say, what do you guys think about that? Thank you.
Brissett, well, he's young, but that's the thing. He's young, and he's not your quarterback of the future. So in Brissett, when he gets an opportunity, if he performs well as a starter, he's going to want to, you know, continue that. Now, he's not going to quarterback a team to a Super Bowl, but, you know, he might win 9 games with the Patriots, 10 games with the Patriots, and want to keep that job. Is he going to be willing to work with a kid? Rich brought up a good name, Kirk Cousins. Now, he's not going to be available when you need him, but if you can get a veteran in who knows the league, who doesn't ruin your culture, helps with the culture, and will work with the kid, that's what I would want as a Patriots fan.
By the way, Bridgewater got $21 million a year.
Yeah,
so
it's going to cost you $20 million for Garoppolo. It's going to. Someone else will pay.
I think so, too.
But it will. I mean, that's what it's going to cost.
Brissett is a backup. I think he's making 6 or 7 as far as his
you could get him in cheap. but it's not going to, I mean, yeah, he's not going to make a lot of money. But again, he's going to be a kid, and rightly so, that is looking out for his future. And so that's not who I want. And it also depends when you draft a quarterback. Do you draft one? Well, you're going to have to draft one every year. But if you draft one high this year, do you draft? You're going to have to draft. Not only are you going to have to draft a quarterback every year at some point during the draft, you're also going to have to take a chance at a kid high if you haven't hit on anyone.
But
so,
within
the next couple of years.
But if you think, Fred, or if not you, but if people are thinking that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be your answer when he gets here, then you're just not paying attention to what Jimmy Garoppolo's been doing.
All right, we'll go over that in just a moment. Okay. We'll be right back, and we'll go over all that stuff.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's a really good idea to be really active on Twitter. That is a one-way ticket to riches. There's no downside.
It's Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's the breaking news?
John Heyman has just announced Alex Cora is back as the Red Sox manager. The official announcement more than likely to be made later on this morning. And there you go, John. They don't have to make the press release about the hometown boy coming here or anything like that. Nope.
Ownership wins. Ownership wins is what this means.
How do you know that they didn't want him? How do you know that? But
Chaim Bloom want. If you're a new president of baseball operations, if you are running a team, you want to be able to hire your own guy, not someone else's guy. Chaim Bloom just interviewed about 10 people for this job. And I'm sure he loved Don Kelly, the third base coach or the bench coach from Pittsburgh. I'm sure he loves Sam Fuld, who has a very good working relationship with.
This has been the dumbest farce of a we're really thinking about this one. Ever since he was let go, quote-unquote, from the team, this was their plan. It's why they had an interim manager at the beginning, and then they said, oh, he's the man. This has always been the plan, and any kind of, I guess, delusion, rather, that they were really thinking maybe we'll go one way instead of another was blown to bits the minute they flew to Puerto Rico talk to him.
Well, they flew to Puerto Rico, my guess is now, is to get Chaim Bloom on board. That's my idea.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
So that was to convince Chaim Bloom.
Yes. Yeah, I think that Cora had a better opportunity with a big market team here than he had anywhere else, obviously. And I think that it was probably to get Chaim Bloom comfortable with him, at least as a season ticket holder.
All I know
I would hope that's the case because, again, I agree with John. You want the guy you want. And if as John puts it, wait until all the goodwill now comes. People won't be able to stop talking about the Red Sox. look at season ticket sales. I'm glad I got mine when I did. They might be sold out before you can blink an eye.
They're going to raise prices today along with the announcement.
Yes,
but
people
exactly
won't care
right
about raising prices because they're going to be so excited that Alex Cora is
now
back.
And is there any coincidence that this was announced the moment Philadelphia turned blue? I don't think so.
Because they're both trying to bury it and celebrate it. There's a whole operation going on there.
Do you deny that Tom Werner loves this move at this point in time?
Yes, because he's obviously incredibly naive. If he thinks that this is going to move the needle an inch in terms of interest, here's what would get people interested in the Red Sox. If you let people in Fenway, and I'm not kidding, then it will be something to do, and that entertainment, people will want to go to it. But other than that, what are they going to do? Everyone, buy tickets on the third base side so you can put your binoculars on and look at Cora Manning.
Exactly. No, you're right. But remember I told you when Ron Renicky was let go and they brought back five members of his staff and they immediately left the bench coach option available. Papa Ron watched over the kids for a year. He's going to be the bench coach again next year, and Alex Cora is the manager. Same crew as 2 years
ago. I never doubted that they would hire Cora again. I just didn't think that unless Chaim Bloom is completely behind it, that it's the right move. And I do think now that they went to Puerto Rico, and then you go, well, why'd they have to go to Puerto Rico? Because they probably wanted to. Take a private plane down to Puerto Rico. I would, too. Would you rather have it here or there? And so,
it's not quite a way to represent a position of power.
I don't know.
To another country to go on a plane to go somewhere.
Well, first of all, I don't know if they were negotiating. It might be very well the case that they wanted to make sure that Chaim Bloom was comfortable with Cora. That might be the case. Again, Chaim Bloom can hire anyone he wants. Alex Cora only has a shot at one major market job right now. And every year Alex Cora sits out is another year he's not getting paid. So the Red Sox were in the position of power. This whole idea that Alex Cora had his feet up going, I don't know. No, he'd need a job, and he took it.
I hope he got him by the balls. I hope he made them pay way more than they were going to.
I don't know. Well, then why'd you hire Chaim Bloom? Because I wouldn't pay a manager 1 cent. I wouldn't pay that guy 1 cent more than I had to.
Here he is walking across the bridge right now. Don't pop me up there. There it is.
Let's fire it all.
Yeah, baby. Well, I'll tell you this, is that Red Sox Nation is exceptionally excited. They brought back a manager. Hooray, everybody.
Lester's next. Get ready.
I know.
It's the Tom Werner dream tour.
Yeah, bring me the worst starting pitcher. Bring the worst opening day starter in the league.
And, yep, he'll be your best pitcher on opening day right now, it seems like, if Eduardo Rodriguez is still, unfortunately.
He seems like he's got a lot more to deal with than pitching. But people are saying he might be back, so who knows. But, you could have the worst opening day starter in all of baseball, and you're doing that as just a move to
Fans interested, baby. The ticket sales.
Well, I have exclusive rights to buy opening day tickets. And I'll tell you what, if they sign John Lester, that's a big yes. I want to sit out in 20-degree weather in the middle of the night to watch John Lester pitch.
Bankroll boys, we need some odds because I'm telling you, this is going to be within the next, 48 hours. They are going to, not 48 hours. It's going to be this either today or Monday. Is going to be the announcement that they are raising ticket prices. I would think it's going to be today. Like, there's no question now that they're going to raise ticket prices, which is absolutely absurd. I guarantee you they're going to do it.
Okay. Well, again, they very well might, and they might think that this is a distraction that's going to make the fans rejoice. But, I mean, Felger and Maz might get an hour out of it, but I don't really know what they're going to talk about. You know, if Chaim Bloom likes it, great. If Chaim Bloom didn't want him, then the organization is being short-sighted. Other than that, he manages with a designated hitter. I'm not on a team that everyone's apathetic about. So his whole dealing with the media, I'm not concerned with either. So really, I mean, you work your pitchers and keep them fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, you don't got much to do.
Josh Deering, our friend who used to work for the show, just tweeted, the Red Sox also announced that Sweet Caroline is back and that they're having another bird sale.
Oh, good.
Ah, what Sweet Caroline's?
No, Sweet Caroline is back. Sweet Caroline's was a bar that was across the street, but he's just saying that it's time for a brick sale, too.
Okay. Well, they could do that. I mean, obviously, Alex Cora is going to rejuvenate the whole public with his presence. These ideas that these things are going to cause a ripple are ridiculous. Have fans. Whatever you feel is the right thing to do in terms of how you do it and when you do it, if you have fans. Now, we're talking about late April, early May. So
it's
this
more
is this isn't tomorrow.
It's more win than have fans. You got to have a good product.
No, you're not going to win this year. But if you want people this year to get interested, it's not about Alex Cora. It's about having fans. Have fans, and people, and that's going to be a huge deal. If the Patriots never end up having fans, which they probably won't, and then that's a huge deal. You're the first because I can't imagine. I mean, it seems to me that. Walsh has got he's happy not doing anything ever. So I highly doubt they'll have indoor fans. So if you're the first, if you're the first team locally that has fans, that's going to be a big story and people are going to want to go. I mean, you don't have to get many to go. I mean, you only have to find 15,000 people that are willing to go to a Red Sox game, and that's not hard.
you kind of present a strange type of situation that the Red Sox are in, and that is, all right, what percentage of Red Sox seats are sold to like people like you who have like packages and season tickets? Like, what percentage is that? Because if they only allow 25% of people there, is it just no one from the public and only people who have season tickets?
Because
they already
have
tickets to the game?
Yeah, I would hope so. I would hope that the minions
sales,
don't come
that's
in.
For sure.
Yeah, I don't need some loser walk-up poor kid trying to get into the game.
Please, sir, may I have a ticket to the old ball game?
Gross bleacher diarrhea sitting and ruining my time. No, it should only be for the season ticket holders. I don't know how it would work. But you could get in if you wanted to. I mean, not every season ticket holder is going to want. I mean, a lot of these season tickets holders are old. They're not going to want to go to a game if everyone still has the coronavirus. So they're not going to want to go, so you'll be able to get tickets. One way or the other, I mean, if you have fans, it's outdoors, and it's hopefully under some sort of control. I mean, it's 5-6 months from now. I mean, I would, if you have fans, then that will raise at least a day of people being interested. And that's all you're really asking for. It will become a hot ticket, is what I'm saying. Is it if you're the first sports organization that has fans, it will become a little something. You'll get a little juice. You'll have a little hot ticket on your hands. But who knows? Walsh might not let fans into buildings for the next 5 years.
I do love how, like, basically no one seems to be pissed that he was embroiled in this cheating scandal. Like,
no one cares. No, I think everyone accepts that it's just were really dumb about it.
Didn't cheat nearly as much while he was here. And that was all Houston, Rich.
Yeah. I mean, well, they're all cheating, but the whole banging on the trash can thing seems like a little out there that you were going to get caught. I mean, be stealth. Jesus, they handed the coach of the Bills, McDonough, whatever that was, his name is, a phone the minute he got off the field. I mean, they got stuff down there. Use it. You got to bang on a trash can? My Lord. It's hardly the White Sox scandal, but I mean, Jesus, let's go. All right, Rich, we got the stat coming up. What's going on? Hey, here it comes. And here comes Johnny Boy, waiting like a loser to get in the game because he doesn't have season tickets like Fred does.
He's going to be begging you, Fred.
And my own entrance. I can take you to a game.
Cool.
I mean, you don't have to pay. No, I'll take you to a game. I'll take you to a game.
Great.
Sure. Absolutely.
We'll
go to a game.
Let's go.
Yeah, and it's easy to meet because we got our own entrance.
Yep.
Did you get four tickets?
No, I got two.
You got two, okay.
Yeah. I'm going to go to 10 with my son, and then my daughter, I'll force her to go to one, and my wife will probably want to go to two.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I don't have 8 friends, and John's one friend.
I'm excited.
So,
let's go.
John's definitely on the list.
Got to have one for Roach?
Yes, I'll definitely. Roach get me tickets. Roach, you think Roach pays for tickets?
No.
Roach gets me tickets.
Yeah. Roach is connected. He's, yeah.
And then he'll be all like Mormon about the whole thing. And I don't want to take the ticket.
I don't know.
He's all pious. I don't want to take the tickets.
I like that he's Mormon.
I don't know. Maybe he is. I don't know what his religion affiliation is. But I don't want to take any tickets.
No caffeine.
Well, that's fine with me. Who needs it? All right, so Rich, we got the stat coming up. Did I already ask you that? What are we going to talk about?
Sure. Finally, we have some good fast food restaurant news for the city of Boston. We've needed this for a while. On top of that, it looks like an entire broadcast team has been blown out for this weekend from the coronavirus.
Woo! All right, we'll be right back. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick sits down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
You know, we've learned this year that there are going to be situations like that.
Now, back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Here you go, John. Who's our sponsor?
Sponsor is Window Nation. Fred, it's their buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Check them out at windownation.com.
What have I done? I'm looking at an email I just got right now. So I told you guys how, like, in the off season, during the summer, I bought this little. It was like an 18-foot single engine boat. All right, I got it fairly dirt cheap. I mean, just several thousand dollars for it, which is, you know, whatever. I got a good deal because it was an old dude who didn't want to store it anymore. Everyone who warned me that all this was a money pit are pretty accurate, because I just got this email, because I just need a place to store it. I need a place to keep it, and everyone's telling me you do have to get the little thing, the wrap put on it and all that, which, by the way, is ridiculously expensive. Like, to get your boat, like, wrapped up and stored is unbelievably expensive. A crime, a racket. So I get this email, because there was a cushion on it, then I'm like, oh, I'll get a new cushion because it's got a big tear in the middle of it. And they said, okay, well, here's the estimate for that. And then they said, oh, there's one other issue that we found. I'm sure you noticed as well. The steering cylinder seals have failed. And being Generation 1 Baystar, we will need to replace the cylinder and not just the seals. I'll share some final thoughts on the cushion replacement. I was like, all right. First of all, A, I didn't notice any problem with steering. And he goes, as usual, I'm sure you noticed, because I'm such a seasoned boater who'd never owned a boat and still doesn't really know how to boat. And he just sent me an estimate. It's going to cost me the amount of the boat to get this replaced.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like, you walked right into it. But you got the place in Nantucket. This is the life now. I mean, you have had to save so much money being out there, not going out and everything. I mean, this is the cost of doing business.
Did you find a place to store the thing?
Yeah, at this place, and it's ridiculous. And I've looked around too, and according to even our listeners and stuff,
no, Nantucket, you're not going to find anywhere cheap to do anything.
No, even if you were like storing it anywhere else, this is the average price. Like, to have a boat stored, and for that, as I said, this is like a small little single engine, like center console deal. This has just got the one little thing on it. It's like a small fishing boat. It costs thousands of dollars to wrap it and to winterize it and to keep it for the winter. Like, it's going to cost me like $2,000 to do that. And according to some people that I've heard, that's like the normal price. I'm not getting rid of that. That's just the cost of doing business.
Yeah, they're probably not good.
And now I'm taking a look at this, and it's like he found some sort of cylinder that needs to be replaced, and I just saw the number. And
yeah,
like,
and there's nothing you can do about it.
You get what you pay for, I guess.
It's not like you can say no.
Right.
Because he knows more than you. You're in the position that every car owner's in.
Yeah, oh, sure.
They know more than you, so what are you going to say?
Well, I told you the story.
Like a chump.
Well, there was a time in college where I had a car that I bought off of Mary's dad. It was $2,000, and it was just a cruddy car. The trunk didn't even open unless I used a screwdriver. It was not great, but it got me from point A to point B. And I, at one point, it stopped working. It just didn't start. So I had it towed in to this mechanic, and when the mechanic told me how much it was going to cost to fix it, I never picked it up. And they kept calling me, and I'm like, dude, I can't pay that. It's yours. You could have it. Like, you basically, I'm stuck with the. It was like, I think it was something crazy, like $4,000. I'd paid $2,000 for it, and I'm like, dude, I can't do it. So I never got the car, and I gave him the car.
Yeah, that's when you buy something for less than they normally cost. That's what you're going to get. You buy an old boat, you might as well just buy a better one. And if you buy an old car for $2,000, something's going to cost more than that, because the parts are probably worth $2,000. Parts that are currently in the car.
Yeah.
So if you add labor to everything and getting new parts, it's just going to end up costing you in the end. So that's what you're finding out.
So there you go.
You might, if you could sell this boat to the guy and get money and then buy a better boat, then you can have that boat and not fix it.
Oh, a better boat? You know how much an average boat costs? Like, this is like most, like, even tiny boats are like ridiculous. So I got this one for several thousand. I'm like, hey, I'm making out like a bandit here. And then it's slowly going to end up being about as much as a normal boat would cost.
Yeah.
And everyone's been saying, exactly, you know what boat stands for? Bust out another thousand. That is. It's never been more true.
Yeah, there's a bunch of corny concepts with boats. The happiest day in a boater's life is the day he buys the boat and the day he sells it. So you are one of those people now. But you have to have saved a lot of money. So there you go.
Well, I mean, as far as like no vacations or anything like that.
No vacations. You're not eating out.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like literally one of the only things that gave me joy over the last several months.
That's what spending money does.
Not the spending money part, no, but the attempting to fish part.
But you're buying things with money. I mean, yeah, that's because you're not buying anything else. So that's what's giving you joy.
Yep, yep.
I mean, I don't know how many Amazon packages are coming to the house if you're like everyone else and you're getting one a day. But, I mean, you know, that's the way it goes.
That was the first month. And then I'm like, dude, what am I doing? And so I've been, it's been a monk-like lifestyle here, Fred. I haven't bought anything.
Right, so just
that's literally the only thing that I bought. Is that dumb boat?
Well, appreciate the boat then. Appreciate it. You got to save all this money, and now you know. So you got a little problem with the boat.
Now I got to spend it.
And so, you could have taken it out today.
I know it would have been perfect. Well, the guy even like joked. He called me yesterday when he was just telling me that, you know, he was going to do this. He was going to look over the thing. And he's like, "Whoa, you sure could have used it today when you're not allowed to." I think November 1st, you have to have it yanked out.
So many rules.
How
many rules?
Rules everywhere, man. What are you going
to
do?
I mean, when they first settled in Nantucket, you think they told the widows not to go up to the widow's walk to see if your husband's dead?
That wouldn't have been very nice. They want to see him die.
Yeah. They want to see, no, they want to see him come back, and if not, you know, drinks are on me.
My son's going to die, or my husband's going to die. I want to see it. Mm-hmm. That's why they built those things. Well, this is a story that I got sent 1,000 times yesterday, and I thank our listeners. But Boston's first Taco Bell Cantina has officially opened over there by BU. And there's been all this different articles written about how a Taco Bell Cantina is different because it's got booze and stuff. I don't care. It's just a good sign that in the most fast food deprived city in the world, Boston is finally starting to catch up. You got the Taco Bell that opened in Downtown Crossing last year. Thank you for that, even though for the longest time you couldn't even get in because the line was so long. And they've opened a second one. There is such a lack of any kind of drive-through. There's no Arby's. I can name about 10 different fast food franchises that are shockingly the city of Boston has been deprived of.
Well, by Newton North, there used to be a KFC Taco Bell, and I have a feeling that they busted their balls too much about it being there. But I like that you can have a pizza place is perfectly fine. Or like a deli that serves, you know, tongue. It's perfectly fine, but Lord knows you can't have a Taco Bell. That's a public health issue.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, have every restaurant be vegan or shut up. Like, I don't want the kids that access to Taco Bell. Well, let's draw the line then. Well, no crack and no Taco Bell. It's the same thing. But you better get there soon, Rich, because I have a feeling that that's not going to be there forever. Because I don't see the appeal of a Taco Bell Cantina.
Oh, no. Here's where I think you're wrong is that they've done tons of research and they were very smart to put it right next to BU. And I guess that they've been opening these right next to college campuses and they are slammed like all night. They're slammed because it's college kids who, I mean, you remember we used to eat at like,
well, they better
one at 1 o'clock in the morning.
They better start drinking now because that thing's closed at 9:30 tonight.
That's true.
If it's open today,
but you can get
start
to go,
drinking
I guess.
Now.
That's right.
Well, yeah. Or you could have saved yourself a lot of rent and just opened up a Taco Bell.
That probably would have been a better idea, but I think the ball was in motion before all this started.
So. Yeah, so have fun with that, kids. Yeah, you can get your hungover food right at 9:30. So my advice would be, listen, you're in college. No one said you can't start drinking now.
Mm-hmm.
Just start them now.
Yep.
And hit up Taco Bell around 8 o'clock. Go to sleep. You'll wake up feeling better tomorrow and go about business that way.
Now we need some Chick-fil-A's. We need some Arby's up in here. We need to get those would probably be the only two that I would like right now like we really need. I'd like a Moe's. I wouldn't mind a Moe's.
I don't think Moe's is doing that well. Moe's seems to be closed in a lot.
The one near me is closed.
Yeah, and I don't like Chipotle anymore. So I got sick of it.
See, I like Chipotle a lot.
I did too, but I'm sick of it. So that's over. If you get it delivered, it's awful. They don't try when they deliver.
Really?
Yeah, they don't try. In my experience, they don't try. You're getting less of everything. Like, you'll get a burrito and it'll be folded over like 87 times.
You see, I got it delivered, and it was the one thing I liked about it was that it was shame-free ordering. Like, you could double up on everything. You could put it on the app because you feel like a glutton if you're standing there across from the person. You're like, can I have double rice, double guacamole?
I think that we all really feel bad about the people working at Chipotle thinking less of us.
I do, and it's a weird thing. It's like I feel like I'm not going to be a Chipotle. I
don't care what they think
it.
Of me in any way, shape, or form.
It's the difference between you.
They
and
don't
me.
Care about you.
I know.
And I don't care about them.
Yeah.
Once I walk out of there, it's their life. Just take the scoop out.
Ooh, a Dairy Queen downtown would be awesome too. Get me a Dairy Queen.
Dairy Queens are only good unless if there's like loose chicks by a lake. Other than that, there's no time for Dairy Queen.
Yeah, the DQ in my neighborhood so is still open.
Yeah, Dairy Queen's about like Leonard Skinner being on the radio and like getting with a girl with loose morals by a lake.
Dairy Queen burgers underrated.
Yeah, but that's not city eating. Dairy Queen is for a specific vibe, and it ain't for. Or if you want to go wholesome, it's about like having to travel too far for a Little League game, and then oh, there's a Dairy Queen. those are what it's for. It's not for normal eating. It's a event food. Right. Now, if you live by a bunch of horse chicks by a lake, then you can have it every day. But
and
other
who doesn't
than that,
love
no.
horse chicks by lakes? I mean, come on.
That was the. I mean, Kid Rock wrote a song about it in Michigan. That's where they all were. By the lake.
Speaking of Kid Rock, I don't know if you heard.
I banged a chick that worked at Kentucky Fried Chicken by the lake.
Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Yes. Before I banged her.
And you didn't marry her?
No, she was ugly, but I did have sex with her. Not as ugly as you'd think, but not great.
Okay.
But what was I getting at the time? No, she wrote...
Free chicken.
Remember the hot wings that they had, like the fried hot wings? There was like a minute that they had those back in the day. I'm talking a long time ago. She wrote a note because we went in there every day for lunch, and she wrote a note one time and put it in the bag, and I called her and had sex with her, and then I never saw her again except for a Kentucky Fried Chicken. But nonetheless, it was there. It was there. All right. What about Kid Rock? I hadn't seen it. I know that he's up to shenanigans. Is he?
No, this isn't even a kid. It's around the world of Kid Rock.
Oh, Butt Rock.
I'm not sure if you're aware, but we might be... Listen, 2020 might not be so bad after all because it might have launched into motion the greatest rock reunion of all time.
I read about this. So many egos and so much success. I mean, they thought, you know, they offered the Beatles a lot of money. I think they offered the Beatles some ridiculous amount of money to play one show. And I mean, and they said no. And if the Beatles said no, I have little hope for Creed.
I know. Creed. And by the way, I know there's going to be naysayers saying that it was the drummer who wanted to do this. And I know what most people are saying.
But he's the backbone. And he was the most Christian out of all of them, too.
But Scott Stapp is making so much money with his solo career. So why? I mean, I understand why he's trying to say it. He's like, oh, yeah, agree, and I'm jealous of everyone. No. I think there might actually be a possibility that these guys might get together and change the world once again.
Okay, if they tour and you're Boston, you have to open up the venue. Like, if they tour and you're not letting people in indoor venues, you have to open up the venue.
No masks at all. You are saved by the blood of Christ.
Well, yeah, you're not going to get corona at a Creed show. Everyone knows that. You're protected in a halo of love. But the rioting. I mean, just to stop the rioting, you would have to do it.
Do you think that Scott Stapp will do any of his solo work? You know, maybe something about a certain baseball team?
I mean, if he's at Fenway.
All it's game day. We want crack. Strikeouts, base hits, double plays.
Give me a crack.
Take the field, hear the through roar of the crack.
Oh, God.
But you have to Google the Thanksgiving halftime show of the Dallas Cowboys when they had Creed play and they did Can You Take Me Higher? And at one part in the song at the crescendo, an actual guy dressed like an angel flew up into the crowd.
I did see that. I saw that last night. I'd forgotten all about it.
That wasn't a guy dressed up as an angel. That was an actual angel.
Oh, all right.
It's crap your pants funny.
It really was good.
Oh, I got a sweet move. We got to play to the house. You know, it's Thanksgiving, and that means Ma and Pa America are all home. We need to do something huge. Angel dude. That'll do it. We got to push some units.
Foo Fighters, which Creed were essentially the Foo Fighters of their time, they're going to join Dave Chappelle on Saturday Night Live this weekend. A Dave Chappelle post-election episode might be absolute must-watch television.
Well, I hope that they play the song that they played, not the Foo Fighters, but remember after Trump won 4 years ago, that they said, you know what, let's not do any comedy.
You're right.
And let's have the chick from Ghostbusters come out and sing a Leonard Cohen song called Hallelujah.
Kate McKinnon came out there dressed as Hillary Clinton and did like that Hallelujah, but then she goes, we'll keep fighting, or I'll keep fighting, and I hopefully you'll keep fighting. I'm like, who are you talking about? Like, A, the election's over, and B, are you supposed to be Hillary Clinton here? Are you supposed to be Kate McKinnon? Like, I'm not sure what's happening, but it was so just like
She didn't have time to change the outfit, and it was almost, it was almost kismet that she didn't. That's when he knew Saturday Night Live really had it together. Because they were like, they felt bad about having co-host, and then or host the show. Because remember, Trump had hosted that season.
Sure. He did, yeah.
And so, but when she came out and did Hallelujah, I mean, can you imagine what they thought the reaction was going to be? They thought everyone was going to be crying, like when she played it and saying how lovely it was. Yeah. Talk about missing the mark, stupid. Really, way to read the room, jackasses. That's what I need, is Saturday Night Live to really, like, this is not a time for comedy. Go screw. And let the cast members, if you hired them, do a skit for once. Jesus. There was one good skit with Mulaney last week.
Oh, the Headless Horseman?
Yes. Yeah,
that was
course.
Great.
That was great. But you and I could have wrote that skit.
Well,
Jesus, you and I could probably write 5,000 times better than they do right now.
Oh, come on. The Diddler on the Roof was funny.
I missed that. That was great.
Awesome. That was a belly laugh.
All right. Well, there's a lot to miss. All right, that's going to do it for us. We got John and I have to get out of the studio. That'll do it for us. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.